Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good evening, world. Welcome to Trust the Tape, episode 4.18.19. That's April 18th, 2019. I said good evening because this is the first time that we have ever not recorded in the morning. You won't know that on a podcast because you'll just click it whenever you click it. But we did, in fact, record this in the evening or afternoon. What is 4:40? Dane Brugler's here at DP Brugler on Twitter. The Beast is out. Go to The Athletic. Go to at DP Brugler on Twitter and get The Beast. The greatest guide in the history of NFL draft work is out from Dane Brugler. And we have a special guest this week. The great Brian Broaddus at Brian Broaddus on Twitter from DallasCowboys.com. You guys do the draft show together for Cowboys.com, which sometimes I sneak into. But Brian here for Trust the Tape is a special treat, which means we are going Trust the Tape with no plan, which I believe is the greatest way to do a podcast. We have no plan. I tweeted out for questions. If we get any, we'll do them. If not, we'll just fight about players. So welcome, Brian, and thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I think I was on this last year at one time. And so, yeah, it's nice to make a reappearance. It might have been about the same time. I think we were doing that.
You're a real once a year kind of guy.
I'm like, yeah, I'm a seasonal guy. Yeah, I'm a seasonal draft guy.
Real once a year guy.
Yeah.
Dane, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it feels good. The Beast is out. The feedback so far has been tremendous. I'd like to hear from all of you about your thoughts. And so just make sure you have your Athletic subscription and you get that as a perk. And for those that don't know, Brian is the experienced one in the room. He's been in war rooms. He's actually run war rooms.
He drafted Pro Bowlers. We just talk about it.
He's wearing a Super Bowl ring right now. So brings a lot of insight to the podcast more than usual.
Well, I can honestly say, though, and I said this on the show today, and I appreciate the nice words there, Dane. I would scout with either one of you guys. And I said this about Dane earlier that I was on a championship staff with guys like John Dorsey, John Snyder, Reggie McKenzie, Sean Herrock, guys like that, and Scott McLuhan. And I promise you two guys, the 5 years I've been scouting with you could be a part of that group with the knowledge that you've had, the eye that you have. So this is not labor for me. This is a lot of fun because you guys have got some really good eyes, and I appreciate your hard work for that.
I just think it's great that you've never found a hobby that you like. Because Brian just watches tape all day, literally all day and all night.
Well,
it's amazing.
It's funny because, again, Dane will come in after we do a show, and Dane has got so many guys that he's already scouted, and then he'll throw on that guy and be like, okay, what school are we watching today? Alderson Broaddus College? Okay. And sure enough, here's a school with my last name on it, and we're watching players from there. And, we've got it down now to where we have mascot kind of scouting, and
we always watch Corso.
And then
Corso,
and we also do bounce house. So if you got a bounce house, there's a good shot that we'll put you up around on the grades.
I love that Dane shows up in it's January 8th, and we're like, all right, boys, let's get started. And he's like, all right, I got 450 guys done, but I'm trying to get to 1,300.
There's this
year.
Kid from Lindenwood. I really want you to see.
It's like
I remember that guy.
I'm sitting there trying to watch Montez Sweat, and here's Dane. He's watching some fourth corner there at Lindenwood. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, while we are watching Kyler Murray, he is watching Emeka Egbula.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of the way it goes.
Yep.
All right. Well, I saw Gil Brandt the other day. I believe he said he had 15 first round picks this year. Yeah. And to me, that number sounded low, and I didn't see which guys it was, but I thought that would be a fun game. We have three people in the room who all have their own individual boards. How many first round players are in this draft? Dane Brugler, I'm taking away your cheater grades. If it's a 1-2, it's not a 1.
That's tough because
rounders.
I have 21 just straight first, not including, because the way I do my, just break up my grades, first and then 1-2s, 2s, 2-3s, and so on. But just plain ones, flat out ones, I have 21.
Brian, how many do you have?
25.
And I have, because I have two cheater ones here too, so I'm going to consider them ones though. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8. Dwayne Haskins and Noah Fant.
Okay.
Those are my cheater ones. The one twos.
I would have never guessed Fant. I would have thought Fant would have been just a straight one for you.
He's a 1-2 for me too.
Really?
No.
Oh wow. Okay.
I don't know. I like Hockenson feels really, really, really safe.
Right.
And Fant, it's like, man, I'd love that upside. And I think he's going to be good, but not to the level of the other guys who I have in one.
Do we all have Hockenson like in the top eight?
Yep.
Six for me.
Right around there.
Yeah, I think he's number, I got Hockerson at number five on my board.
It feels like Quinnen Nelson from last year. Like, the value of the position's not necessarily there. But
you know he's going to be good.
Yeah, you could just, take him top five and justify it. You know, it's the position value is a different discussion, but just a clean player that you feel good about.
Yeah, I've got Fant. I'm looking at him right now at 23. So if I have 25 names, maybe he would fall into that 1-2 category. But I think he's a straight one. I really, really do.
Oh,
I love the player.
I have 18. Looks like I'm the pickiest guy.
You and Gil Brandt are scouting the same.
Yeah, it's me and Gil. Well,
all right, let me ask you guys this.
I don't have a linebacker in the first.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't have a wide receiver. Yeah, I don't have a wide receiver.
I don't either.
And I don't have a safety.
I don't either.
Not with a straight one.
Not with a straight one.
I like the offensive line and the defensive line in the first round.
Well, and that's
round.
When the draft actually happens, the top 20 picks is going to be probably 80 to 90% defensive line, offensive line, and quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, we might probably, the first corner, maybe off the board, say 20, like the Steelers, around that range.
Byron Murphy?
Maybe. Greedy, if they go on the upside.
Yeah, there you go.
The safety, probably don't see a safety in the top 25. And wide receiver, maybe DK Metcalf or Hollywood goes maybe 15 to the Redskins or one of those teams. But good bet we don't see a receiver in the top 20 either.
Let's play another game. Give me your top 10 wide receivers, because I bet they're all different. Like, I bet we'll see a lot of the names the same, but I bet everybody has at least one or two different, and I bet the order is different for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things. To quote Bill Parcells, that we got them stacked in there like club sandwiches. I think I watched 40 of them. I tried to watch every draftable player that Dane had in the Beast, is what I did. Mm. And so that in itself is an exercise. But yeah, if I go first, I'll go with I got Metcalf, then I've got Harmon, then I've got I'm going down through my list here of top 100s, boys. So kind of
Harmon too. That immediately sticks out.
Yeah, I mean, you're not a big fan of Harmon.
Harmon's not in my top 10.
No, I do like Harmon. He's six for me. They're so closely rated that, I mean, he's six, but he's still pretty highly rated for me.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I love the gumption there, having him that high, because there's a lot to hang your hat on.
Then I went with Paris Campbell, okay. And then I went with Riley Ridley right there. And then I went with Marquise Brown. That would be Hollywood Brown. How about just top five, Jeff?
There you go. That'll go.
Is that a go?
I mean, trying to work your way through the list.
Yeah, I didn't
warn you.
Yeah, you didn't warn me about my top 10, because I just went off my top 100 is what I did right there. So
mine are DK Metcalf, and I'm debating moving him. We still have a week to go. I can move a guy if I want to.
Technically.
Hollywood Brown, AJ Brown, who I think is, to me, the safest. I
agree.
Yeah, Dane said that today. He beat me up pretty bad on our show.
We debated this pretty good.
Yeah, we did, because I had him way too low.
I initially had him low after my first time I watched him.
Yeah.
And then going back and you keep watching, it's like, well, if he's going to have really sure hands, be a solid route runner, slide through tackles and run through tackles
but
all
you
the time,
about
that's
the
pretty
speed,
good.
The speed and the quickness, though, there?
A little bit.
I try to be safe, to have a full-size guy with great hands, breaking tackles. I went back after the show, and I'm thinking, because David Helmut caught it on our show today, and he's like, boy, there's like a 40-spot disparity between the two players. And I went back and go, like, how could I be that far off, a player? Now, we're off about the Florida State
pass rusher. Brian Burns.
Burns. I mean, we've got a big disparity there. And I think a lot of it has just because of me visually, wow, I look at the player. But with Brown, I went back and read my notes, and I'm like, man, that was just a horse, argument on my part. I think you and Dane have probably got him more right than what I have him as right now.
I wouldn't be surprised if he has like a Juju Smith-Schuster type
of
impact.
Yeah, that was a comparison. Yeah.
Maybe I learned from Juju because I didn't love him.
That's what we were talking about. Speed. 66 overall player, 60-whatever player overall. Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing, but I, you know, going back and looking at things, you guys are probably going to be more right about him than me.
Well, when they AJ Brown, he's 3 inches shorter than DK Metcalf,
right?
But he's only 2 pounds lighter. I mean, he's well strapped together. So, like what you were saying about creating after the catch and breaking tackles, that's definitely a big part of his game.
Deebo Samuel is my fourth receiver. And now here's where I'm going to get myself in trouble because I'm going to have him higher than anybody. And if he makes it, I'm a genius. And if he doesn't, you'll all forget that I said this.
Toledo?
Toledo is my number five.
Johnson?
Deontay Johnson at Toledo is my number five.
Cody Thompson?
Sir?
John Vay Johnson?
Sir?
I'm sorry, which Toledo receiver?
They've got a ton of them.
Yeah.
Deontay Johnson, sir, is my fifth receiver. I think the creative route runners are a lot of fun to watch, and I think if you can separate, you can separate, and I think he can do it. Riley Ridley's my sixth. N'Keal Harry, 7. Paris Campbell, 8. Isabella, 9. Mecole Hardman, 10. Dane.
Okay. I think we all agree.
I left Akeem Butler at number 11, which could make me look bad, could make me look good.
He's the player that a lot of folks are asking about.
Yeah.
You know, because of the size. But I mean, he's...
And he ran a good 40, I think.
Yeah, he would not be
go,
my,
oh.
I did not have him in my top 100. I know you
love
did,
it.
Dane.
Yeah. No, I did, but he's a late 2, early 3 for me.
Okay.
So, for me, top 5, top 10, see, I did DK Metcalf 1, which, so we all agree on that, right?
Right.
I mean, would any of us draft him in the top 25 picks?
I have him on my board at 26 right now.
He's 27 for me.
Yeah.
Would you draft him top 25, Jeff?
Man, I feel like there's 10 or 15 guys that I would say, generally speaking, no. In this particular draft, if the right 24 are gone, yes.
Okay.
See, this is where, too, I look at my top 25, and I look, you know, Rocky Sin. I keep asking about him, and, you know, and then Mac Wilson is another one. I think I'm too high on Mac Wilson.
You both of you guys are high on him.
I love Mac Wilson.
You guys are going to gang up on me when we get to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're going to be right because we all take in so much information about the draft.
Yeah,
and I feel like we would be standing on an island by ourselves with everyone else who covers the draft out here. Like, no, not Mac Wilson.
Yeah,
it's like I don't. Okay, and maybe I just overvalue the physical part of linebacker, and we shouldn't.
I'll tell you,
because
guy,
that's not the most important part anymore.
I'll tell you, a guy that Dane has a lot higher than me on that top 25 of my names is Christian Wilkins. The defensive tackle from Clemson.
I mean, top 10 player for
top 10 player for him. You know, and I look at him more in that range where I had him at 16. So, you know, I mean, I know it's 8 spots away. It's not a huge drop.
Did
but top 10's pretty stiff for him.
Did you have a 1 on him, Jeff?
Yes, and he would be, if I were stacking them up like vertically, he would be towards the end of the ones, so probably in the late teens.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. Here's the part about I have access to watching them play. I don't have access to Brian. You have 5 million people in the NFL that you talk to. Dane, you talk to a ton of people in the NFL.
That might be the best way to scout.
So I have Jerry Tillery on my board ahead of Christian Wilkins. But all I'm going off of is tape. The things that I hear about him, I don't know. So would I actually pick him there? Probably not, because I would know about it.
That's the hard part for, you know, us on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like Brian, I noticed in your top 100, you have a few guys that – I think talent-wise are deserving, but there's all that other stuff that we're just trying to piece together.
Right.
Like, I don't think you can just ignore it. You know, like, I don't think you can do this by and say, well, he's got medical, but we won't count the medical. He's got the character, but we won't count the... I mean, you have to take all your information and...
There's no question.
And incorporate it, but it makes it tough for all of us on the outside looking in to really understand the full scope of what's going on with the player. But with Christian Wilkins... You know, I see a...
Well, he plays hard.
He does, and he's a motor. He finds a way to get to the backfield. He'll get washed a few times against the run, but I think he's so flexible for a guy that size, 315 pounds, unanimous All-American, won the academic Heisman, so, you know, intelligence isn't a question, high-character guy. I just think in a top 10, if you're looking for a high-floor type of guy, I think he's it.
Can I ask a question? I think you got the guy nailed, but can I ask a question about... The tackles, the offensive tackles.
Okay.
These are fun.
See, that's what I'm saying. With Jonah Williams, who I absolutely love, but why do I love Andre Dillard more? Maybe 3 or 4 spots more, but Andre Dillard's, I got him as my best tackle. He
has the best feet of any offensive tackle in this class.
And I think when you see that, when you see a guy that pass protects and it looks so easy, you go, oh, wow, in a passing league, that looks really good. Like, I have him as my first tackle right now, But I keep going back and forth with him and Jonah Williams. And then for me, Cody Ford is the third one.
And the Raiders would love to have had Andre Dillard on that board when they picked last year.
Oh, yeah. Instead of Colton Miller?
Yeah, instead of Colton Miller, yeah.
It all looks so effortless.
Another Pac-12 guy.
The thing with, and I love Andre Dillard, too. He's a top 10 player in this draft for me. I think number 9 on my board. He has a lot of snaps taking pass sets. But in that offense where, just snap, load, and throw in that Mike Leach quick strike offense, I don't know if he was routinely tested by speed on a consistent basis. And I worry about his anchor a little bit. We saw that at the Senior Bowl where sometimes when he wasn't able to sink his hips and gain immediate leverage and dig his cleats into the ground, blockers, especially speed to power rushers, could get underneath him and move him a little bit. So yeah. And the other interesting thing with Andre Dillard is one thing that I love about the Pac-12 is they have the Morris Trophy, which is only for the Pac-12. The offensive linemen vote on the best defensive linemen in the conference every year, and vice versa. So this year, Caleb McGarry, the defensive lineman in the Pac-12, voted Caleb McGarry as the best tackle the Pac-12. Mm. So I thought that was really interesting over Andre Dillard.
Probably a bunch of haters.
Hey,
Washington, you make it to the Rose Bowl. I'll tell you what, it's funny, Dan, you were talking about Dillard and what happened at the Senior Bowl, and then I close my eyes and I see that guy our guy Farrell running over the top of
Jonah. Yeah.
In that national championship game. So maybe you catch guys at the right time, but you're right about the snap and catch and throw and all that. But man, you never have to wash this guy's uniform. Neither one of these guys. I mean, they're never on the ground. Mm-hmm. I love offensive linemen. They're never on the ground.
You're absolutely right about Jonah in that national title game. I mean,
you want to say,
exactly.
Hey, throw in a good tape. Well, watch him against Alabama. You're like, whoa, he's taking this top 10 offensive tackle to task here right now.
And that's what you want from a first-round player is to show up when the lights are the brightest and do it against an NFL-quality player. And so with Jonah Williams, there's no question he will struggle at times versus length.
Yeah.
And Cleveland Farrell showed that. Because Cleveland Farrell is not a quick twitch, Von Miller type of rusher.
Absolutely.
He's not. He's so different than Brian Burns in that respect. But he understands how to use his hands, break down rushers. A lot of what he does is with his mind, and we saw that firsthand in the title game.
Why do I feel like I got 12 centers in the first round on my board?
I only have one with two knocking on the doorstep.
It's amazing.
I'm not far off from having
this
three
there. This is a fun thing if you're a team, and it's a hard position to find. Mm. If you're a team out there that needs a center, you have to feel good about your chances here, don't you?
Oh, yeah. At least three of them, right? You feel really good about three of them?
I feel good about four. I had four of them. I had four.
In top 100? Yeah, me too.
Give me the fourth one.
Penn State.
Okay,
yeah,
McGovern?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Top 100. All right. Yeah. Because I'm thinking like there's three that could go top 50.
Broadus has McGovern a lot higher than I do.
Yeah.
It was top 40, 50.
Yeah, 40. I have him at 40, at 44.
So where's McGovern on your list of centers? Is he 2, 3?
He's 3.
Okay.
In front of A&M?
I like the A&M kid a lot.
Oh, so in front of Jenkins?
Yeah, in front of Jenkins.
Oh,
yeah.
You haters.
No.
I've got Jenkins 3.
He's my second.
Okay.
In front of A&M, man. And then McGovern.
I'll tell you that, McCoy, though, at A&M. My gosh.
Pretty good game against Bama.
Holy, I mean,
that's the best thing you could say about McCoy is you can throw on
that playing in space,
but you can throw on Alabama against Quinn Williams. You can throw on Clemson against Dexter Williams and Christian Wilkins. Yeah. You can throw on Mississippi State against Jeffrey Simmons. You can see how McCoy holds up versus the best of the best. And I think there was times where quickness would get him or power would get him, but you don't see him make mental mistakes.
No,
like he's
not
a very
at all.
Just. Pro-ready center. He's got some guard experience. That versatility is why he has a good chance of landing in round one.
All right, I have a first question from a human on the internet.
Here we go.
Dylan on Twitter. He says, separate the fourth-round running backs. And for him, he puts in parentheses, Justice Hill, Travion Williams, Devin Singletary, etc. I only have one of those guys as a fourth-round running back. But the crop of running backs outside of, I guess, who's above that group? Josh Jacobs.
Damian Harris.
For me, Miles Sanders is second.
Yeah, Miles Sanders
is in
that group.
Is top, yeah,
I think the third round is really the sweet spot.
No kidding.
I think that's where we're going to see Miles Sanders and David Montgomery and Daryl Henderson, maybe Devin Singletary.
Singletary, and one of them at least will run for 12 or 1,300 yards because they'll go to a team that can throw it, that blocks okay, and then you'll see a good running back can run.
You know, maybe this is bad on our part, but we all, you know, maybe the trust the tape should have been on Singletary. And then all of a sudden the workout just went really south. And then it's hard for him. Maybe he's the one guy when he's drafted that he's going to prove a lot of people wrong.
I hope so.
Because I felt like that he was going to be one of the top running backs in the draft. You know, that he was going to be the guy that was up there with Jacobs. You know, like, oh, you watch the kid from Florida Atlantic play? I mean, yeah. And then all of a sudden, just a terrible workout. Well, you know, the speed, the shuttles, everything about the workout was just bad.
I talked to a scout that was at the FAU Pro Day, and he was going to redo everything.
Right.
His first 40 pulled up left hamstring.
Yeah.
So nothing. He did nothing at his Pro Day because of that. And
so he has to stay on all those
exactly
times.
A bummer.
And that's going to follow. That's going to follow him throughout. But he's going to end up going, someone's going to draft him, and he's going to play well.
Hopefully.
The tape is just too good. But he's a guy that started out, Jeff. And they really high, and then all of a sudden now it's like you don't even talk with him. It's like in my ideal scenario, Dane and I and Dave Hellman did this today. I had Travion Williams as my ideal guy at 90. If I could walk out feeling good about the Cowboys draft. I know this is a podcast that goes all around the world,
right?
But if you're a Cowboy fan and you feel good about, you know, hell, if you're anybody's fan, you got to feel good about if your haul is getting. At Washington safety and Travion Williams, I think you have to feel pretty good about your first two picks.
I think that's why I don't think I would want to be the team that's snapping up a running back in like the early second round when I'm looking at what I might be able to get in the late third or early fourth. Yeah. And
right.
I don't know. I've been trying to cram on the running backs yesterday. I watched a bunch of guys. And the Notre Dame running back, I think in the NFL you plug him in, and if you can block and if your team can pass, you're going to run the ball well, and he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Same thing with Damian Harris or Travion Williams or...
I think Reichwell Armstead from Temple's in that group too.
Yeah, maybe the Appalachian State kid.
See, I like Moore a lot, and Dane was... We were talking about today.
I've got him in late four.
See, that's where I'm kind of... I got him in the third round myself.
See, and I love that because I thought I was going to be the highest on Jalen Moore.
I have a number 89 on my board.
That's great. No, 100. I love that. Because, I have an early fourth round grade on him. And, you know, part of that is the fact that he broke his ankle in October.
Yeah.
Really hasn't been able to do anything. He had a partial workout at his pro day, but no 40, anything like that.
Well, I tell you what, though, the kid's
fun.
Kid's good on the blitz pickup and stuff
so
like that.
He's so competitive.
Yeah.
And you can see him against Penn State. You know, you can see him against some better competition. And there's a lot to like about Jalen Moore. Not a lot of receiving production, but I think that's something that – and that's something where it hurts him because he doesn't have the chance at a pro day to show that he can catch the ball out of the backfield on a consistent basis. And that's something I heard great things about. I was talking to a scout the other day at the Memphis pro day. He said Daryl Henderson caught the ball extremely well.
Yeah.
Pollard caught the ball extremely well during the workout.
So
Jalen Moore, we don't get that.
Did Moore get an All-Star game? Because I thought in the Penn State game, he looked comfortable catching it. It's not the same as, hey, let me throw it to you 100 times and see what it looks like. But in a game against Penn State, it looked like he was pretty darn comfortable.
Right, and Jim Nagy, executive director of the Senior Bowl, his first invite was actually Jalen Moore. Unfortunately, because of the ankle,
he
couldn't do it, but he was actually the first invitation to the Senior Bowl this year.
All right, let's see what else we got from the peoples on the internet. Robert on the Twitter says, Marvell Tell is a safety option in later rounds. That's the USC kid.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
Not bad.
I don't hate the tape.
I actually have him a corner in my mind.
Okay, because of the kind of the build and the length and...
Right. I just think he looks like that bigger corner, and he tested like one. He's 6'2", 198, so not ideal for a safety, but, you know, he just looks like that.
But I tell you what, he was hitting people. It seemed like every time the ball was in front of him, he was coming and driving on the ball.
So he was missing some tackles.
Oh,
I remember early in the tape we're watching, because the first thing I saw, I pulled his name off of some list. Mm-hmm.
Probably Dane's list.
But there, well, when I go to Dane's list, I get it right. But I go to other lists sometimes and pull out players that can't play, and it's embarrassing for the people who write them. But one of the things that list had said was, like, not physical. And then we're watching him, like, the hell he's not.
No, yeah, he was.
But finishing tackles, he did fall off of some. So maybe that is kind of cornerish.
Yeah. I like the kid myself, though. I think somebody in day three, Absolutely. And Dane, you said you got him as a corner. Is that skills and stuff like that?
Well, we talk about, you know, Jawan Williams and Isaiah Johnson and Lonnie Johnson all these
long guys.
Big,
yeah.
long corners. I think Marvell Atella fits that. He's 6'2", 198 with 33 and an eighth inch arms. He ran a 4.59, which is obviously not great for a cornerback. But you look at his other numbers, and he had one of the best three cones this entire process. 6'6", 3, 42 inches in the vert.
Did short shuttle.
Yeah, short shuttle's 401, tremendous. So, I actually, Amon Marshall was a corner for USC. I project him better at safety. And Marvell Atella, his safety at USC, I project him better at corner.
So, you're saying their coaching staff doesn't know what they're doing?
Yeah, basically.
Speaking of long corners, though,
yeah.
Tell me about the Valdosta kid.
Love him. He's one of my favorites.
That's the kid, Denmark.
Steven Denmark. Yes.
Because somebody asked me on Twitter today about Steven Denmark. I love the tape. You and I sat down and watched the tape of the kid play.
Former wide receiver. Yeah, he played wide receiver his first 4 years at Valdosta State. Going into his senior year, him and the coaches decided to go over to corner. And I tell you what, he looks like a natural out there. Big, long, obviously. 6'2 and a half, 220 pounds, 33 and a half inch arms.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. The 40s average, 4.46.
Nobody runs away from him
that place. Exactly.
Yeah,
and he had the best 10-yard split, I think. Him and DK Metcalf had the best 10-yard splits, I think, this whole process at 1.48. So you don't like the 7.403 cone. That's a little rough, but straight line, 43.5-inch vert. And he was productive. 12 passes defended, three interceptions this past year. But, you know, Division II level, if I need a developmental corner in the fifth round, Steven Denmark's, he's got a target on his back.
Keep an eye on that guy. There's a lot. Dane nails these guys.
Well, just go to the Athletic and read the draft guide. He's got 50
right.
million players ranked.
Absolutely.
With where they went to elementary school and who beat them at Tic-Tac-Toe.
No question about that. But he's got this. The tape was really good. And like you see, you're sitting there watching Valdosta play and you're going, okay, he is just so much better. Even if he makes a mistake, he can recover. You know, but that's part of learning, and I totally agree with what Dane's saying about him.
Okay, the next question, I cannot read this guy's Twitter handle or the display name because they're both wildly inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all willing to ride with Sean Bunting, the cornerback from Central Michigan?
Correct.
Sometimes I get my directions wrong.
You get those directional Michigan schools wrong?
Are y'all willing to ride with Sean Bunting over Isaiah Johnson, the Houston corner, or Jawan Williams, the Vanderbilt corner? Bunting's my highest out of those three.
I see. That's pretty easy for me.
Yeah. Bunting is the guy.
Where's Bunting on your overall? Because if I had a list, I bet he would be in my top 35.
Yeah. Well, okay, there he is. 35 for mine and 29 for Dane.
Okay.
Yeah. He's that cover and clobber corner.
I love that.
That's exactly what he does. He's over 6 foot, 195 pounds. That cover and clobber corner that you're looking for. He not only did he test well, but it shows on film. Like there are times he's running better routes than the receiver, and he's not afraid to disrupt the timing and the chemistry. And like, he was a former wide receiver who gray shirted. Like this guy came out of nowhere.
Right.
His best offer out of high school was Saginaw Valley State, and at the last moment, Central Michigan had a coaching change and. Central Michigan came in and said, we'll honor a scholarship if you're able to gray shirt. And so he did, and he really emerged this past year.
What's a gray shirt?
Basically, you're...
Come hang out, and eventually we'll find you a scholarship.
We can't put you on a scholarship, but we'll figure out a way to get you a scholarship when you cover people real stickily.
He's good.
He's the first person that I've ever written about while watching a corner that I legitimately think he's offended if you get off the line of scrimmage. Like they say set hut, and he's like, you don't get to move. We're going out of bounds or we're staying right here.
I'll tell you what, he's one of those guys that knows how to use the sideline. I love corners that know how to use the sidelines. Where they'll just
put you in the third row,
and then all of a sudden you're standing next to the cheerleaders as he's just driven you out of bounds.
Favorite injured running back between Rodney Anderson versus Bryce Love.
That's a good one.
Is that somebody we can read? We give credit to
No, the same guy.
Oh.
Incredibly inappropriate
well, thank you for
handle.
There. Yeah.
Tease McGee and the other part I can't read at all.
That's good because you have to factor in the injuries and like I think we feel better about Bryce Love.
Rodney's had three season-ending injuries?
Yeah. And
I'd really like to have him on my team.
Yeah.
That's ACL a lot against UCLA, right?
One was a knee, one was a neck.
Neck.
And
then the first one, I don't remember what it was.
So
it was another season-ender.
And Bryce Love was strictly an ACL. So, you know.
Against Cal, last game, yeah.
But Rodney's full size.
Full size,
look good
runner.
Catching it.
He's pretty catching the ball. Bryce Love, to me, I mean, he just looks good in that Stanford uniform. When they wear all white,
he looked a
they
lot
come
better.
Off the ball, and all of a sudden they're blocking, and he's like knifing through and taking it to the outside.
Yeah, that was a year ago. Yeah, I remember that.
No, but remember we were watching. Remember how you watched Christian McCaffrey in the Stanford
uniform?
A little
different, yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying that when they come behind that line, that big old line, they're playing on grass.
Six tight ends.
Yeah, the six tight ends.
Get running downhill.
Yeah, a tackle's wearing a tight end number. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
13 runs of 50-plus yards last year in 2017.
Now, that's ridiculous. That's a PUP guy, I think. Am I right about that, Dane? Kind of a PUP miss the
at
first
best,
six?
Yeah. You know, you hope you could get him for the – you know, last month and a half of the season.
That's Bryce.
Yeah.
Is that enough to put Rodney Anderson in front of him?
I'm taking Bryce.
That's tough.
I'm taking Rodney.
That's
break the tie,
tough.
Dane.
Oh,
we're on the clock. We haven't. Okay, Boomer Sooner. What about it, Brian? You got something you want to say?
All right.
You got something?
You at least admitted it.
I probably have to go Bryce just because I feel better about the injury.
And must be Longhorn fans.
I mean, Rodney Anderson hasn't been able to work out, and it's just.
Neck.
I mean, three season-ending, and the other one was a broken leg.
So, Jalen Smith's leg fell off, and he came back.
And I'm not saying Rodney Anderson won't.
KT
but
horse leg working
on that. Horse leg.
I really hope Rodney Anderson, because when watching him last year as part of, I mean, Baker Mayfield, he owes some of that, you know,
no question.
Number one overall pick money to Rodney Anderson.
No, Mixon,
he helped
too.
Things in that offense. But, you know, with Rodney Anderson, man, you just hope that he's able to stay healthy and stay on the football field, because if he does, he's... Say he was fully healthy.
Jay Ajayi?
Second best corner or running back in this draft? Maybe?
Probably.
Behind Jacobs?
Probably.
I mean, that's probably where I would have him.
Yeah, I was going to say it depends on the workout, but I tell you what, I'm going to tell you guys a secret. Running back, I don't give half a damn how your workout goes.
I agree, especially for the 40-yard
dash.
It's
the one position you can actually plug young kids in and they go play.
Yeah.
And there's no setbacks.
And it's more instinctual finish and balance than it is, hey, here's
exactly.
my shuttle time.
Vision and setting up the blocks in front of you and maximizing space and all that. So there's no question. I would have to lean Bryce Love between the two just because I feel better about the injuries and hopefully that we both see them or we
give
see them both
love,
in the
Jeff.
NFL.
You guys have always hated Oklahoma. How do you sort out LJ Collier?
Whoa. Always hated Oklahoma.
Yeah, you guys have always just been way down on Oklahoma.
I had to watch all these offensive linemen for Oklahoma. I got to see why Kyler Murray
won
the Heisman.
Quarterback, three
oh my god,
linemen.
And all his wide receivers.
How do you sort out LJ Collier at TCU?
Uh-huh.
Anthony Nelson is Iowa.
That's very good.
And Zach Allen, Boston College. Put them in order.
Just for fun, let's add Jalen Ferguson to the list, too.
And
so
Jalen Ferguson. Okay, so let me look at mine. I'm going down my edges. It looks like mine goes...
Because I actually have those four back-to-back-to-back.
They are really, really close to mine, too.
I tried to get Dane on that one today because...
Somebody's seen our boards.
We were talking about... Somebody asked a question on Twitter on the 20 about... How do you if it's a productive big school player or no, a traits big school, both players have traits, but the Division II player has better production.
Is that Max Crosby?
Well, I kind of used the Max Crosby. I asked Dane about Nelson because he had them both pretty close, you know, on his top 100.
Throw Crosby in too. Let's just have a big party.
That's tough because it depends on what kind of pass rusher you're looking for.
If you miss out on Brian Burns, you can take Max Crosby two rounds later.
You like Brian Burns a lot.
We need to get to him at some point here after this.
Okay,
question.
Well, let's put these in order real quick because I'll just read you my order.
Dane just likes to beat up about Brian Burns.
This guy basically just named all the guys that I have in order, but mine goes Collier,
yes,
Max Crosby, Anthony Nelson, Zach Allen, then Jalen Ferguson.
Okay, I've got Collier, Ferguson, Nelson, Allen, then Crosby.
I have Allen.
But all of this is somewhere between the mid-end of the second and into the middle of the third?
Yeah. Exactly.
All
that's exactly
guys.
Where I have them, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're all pretty close together.
Yeah.
So Brian Burns.
I like him, but I would I like him because the NFL game is about affecting the quarterback and protecting yours, and he affects the quarterback. I would totally admit to everyone in the room, like, hey, we're about to spend a top 15 pick, and if they snap the ball and run at him, we're screwed. Everybody good with that? Great. Let's go.
So he's number 11 on my board. And for Brian, he's 42.
42.
So there's a big discrepancy there. And I get absolutely why Brian has him a little bit lower because.
A lot lower. I mean, I feel like I'm a whole round.
Round. Yeah, 30 picks. And you watch him against Max Sharping against Northern Illinois. And when Max Sharping was able to get his hands on him, which happened a lot, he locked him down. So there's no question that you do worry about the power. There's no power move with Brian Burns.
Yeah.
But his speed, that first step, his ability to bend, like I'm going to bet on those traits. And the fact that he was at 249 at the combine and still worked out like a just a demon, that gives me optimism. And I'm going to bet on those traits translating.
Boy,
but I understand why you have pause.
No, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I got polite over him.
On tape, I think that makes perfect sense.
I don't think you're wrong based on tape.
If you're going to give me a small, capture-the-edge guy...
Well, Polite's not small anymore. He
well, way. I meant, looks small. I mean, if you're talking about guys, he's eating his way up in the food chain here.
Yeah, he got bigger.
But, I mean, if you're talking about guys you think are small, or you think, Polite can't play it that way. I mean, he's going to have to get...
He can play at the one he's at now. He just couldn't play at the new athleticism that he's lost.
And he's... As a freshman, he was a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
He was like 275 pounds.
Dude, his tape is the most
frustrating,
confused I've ever been in my life because I saw his combine first. And I was like, oh, okay, we got a little fat, unathletic guy. Then you turn on the tape and you're like, no, I have an incredibly in-shape, unstoppable pass rusher.
Yeah.
Those aren't the same person.
No, it's funny because before the combine, when I listed my top pass rushers, on The Athletic, and I did profiles under Jachai Polite. I listed there are some character concerns there, and I got so much,
No, you're never wrong about
that. Who trains for the combine with Twinkies and ho-hos?
Well, and that's the thing is I got a lot of kickback saying, he has never been arrested. There's no criminal background.
Sure.
The coaches and teammates love him, and I just... Look, this is what scouts are telling me. There's some character stuff here, and it's maturity. Is he ready to be a professional? Is he going to take this seriously? Basically, can he reach his potential? Because his potential is a double-digit sack guy in the NFL. But is he devoted to that? Is he going to reach that? That's the big question mark. And, okay, where would you feel comfortable drafting Jachai Polite? If you're a general manager, and where at what point in the draft would you feel comfortable calling his name?
58.
Brutally, we did this one time.
58.
We did this on the draft show.
Come on.
I did, 58.
58.
That's you wouldn't take him any earlier than that?
Oh, no. I was saying for me. Oh, you're just talking about...
Yeah, if you're just...
Okay,
how
podcasts
early?
Around the world. We're talking about all the teams.
Right.
Yeah.
I got him at 40.
Okay,
I got him at 40.
I think a team in the mid to late second round, especially if you already had a first round pick that you feel good about.
So the 50s.
I got him at top of the second.
I think you could take a chance in the 40s or 50s.
Yeah, I got him at the top of the second.
And I think in the 70s or
near
80s,
the top of the second.
You'd be getting to the point where I can't say no.
Right.
At that point, I'm like, guys, there's way too much talent here to not. And if we miss, we miss.
He's number 30.
We got a top 15.
He's 38 on my board. So, I'm with you. Right around pick 40, I think that's where you possibly take the chance, but some of those interviews, train wreck. I mean, those are the those are the words that were being used.
Adjectives?
Train wreck's not an adjective, I don't think.
How many first-round graded quarterbacks do you guys have? Not
two.
That are going to go there, but graded there.
Two.
Two?
Haskins
two.
And Murray.
How many second
I'm flipping on that.
I have Haskins.
You put Haskins ahead of Murray?
No, I put Murray ahead of Haskins.
Oh, you
put
Haskins. What are you doing?
Hey, I
told you he doesn't like Oklahoma.
You never accuse me of not liking Oklahoma.
Well, no, but you came around.
No,
you
yeah.
watch
Oklahoma.
Look, I like Kyler Murray, and I think he will translate. But, man, watching that offense, it's just tough because who's the best pass rusher he faced in the Big 12 this year?
Nobody ever got to him. We watched him the other
Charles
night.
Charles
Omenihu?
Yeah.
Like Bryce Hager, maybe?
Yeah.
Like LJ Collier?
How about Quinnen Williams?
There was a wake-up call for him against Alabama.
Yeah.
That first half was rough. Now, to his credit, he came back well, did a nice job in the second half. But just when you watch him, he had 5 seconds, 6 seconds to throw in the pocket.
We watched that. He's not lying, Jeff. Remember we watched
the best offensive line in college football.
We watched that kid play the other night, and it was like, my God, is he going to get hit here yet?
Yeah, but he can sling it.
He can stand right and hash and throw it all the way outside left sideline. No
when
question.
Things speed up, I think he will be able to adjust, but it's just... There's a gap there, and look, and it's not necessarily about him. It's more about I'm just a believer in Haskins. I believe in the arm, and I believe in above the neck.
Can I
offers.
Ask a question to Dane about the most accurate of the top quarterbacks? Who was the most accurate?
He doesn't want to hear my answer.
I mean, I'm curious about this.
I would probably go with Haskins. I think when he's not accurate, it's a direct product of his lower body being tied up, but when he's clean and his mechanics are sound, I think he's the most accurate quarterback. Now, I think Kyler Murray is very accurate.
No, of all the quarterbacks, you can include all,
I think it's a three-man race, and Will Greer is the third one.
See, I think that, to me, and we were watching Will Greer, and I went back and watched him a second time. I think Will Grier is really accurate. I don't think he's got a strong arm.
Yeah.
I don't think he has arm talent at all.
And his decision-making is all over the place. But he might have the best... He might be the most accurate deep ball thrower.
Yes,
I agree. Yes. He has a really nice. Watch the Texas tape. Yeah. That deep ball is pretty.
He did it at the combine too, didn't he? Lock. He put three. Or was that Locke? That put three in a row.
Might have been Locke.
Yeah, Locke is kind of wild. Jones is kind of wild.
They're all kind of wild.
Yeah, they are.
And I have all three of those guys in the second round, so I may be higher on Grier than some. But if I'm
you have
a team,
Jones higher than the other two, then
I would go Jones, Grier, Locke. So I'm a crazy person, and I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with it. But I got them all in the second round. I mean, if you
Grier's a little tough because when he's in
rhythm,
we're gonna
have to block for him.
What?
We're gonna have to block for him.
Yeah, when Grier's in rhythm, he's deadly. But he has to find that rhythm, and sometimes it takes him a while.
I don't think of all the guys. I think he has the least arm talent.
Oh, he's
but he throws guys, such a catchable ball.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy with the worst footwork is got to be Locke.
Yeah, it's true.
Locke is all over the place, and then the guy that takes the beating is my grad from Duke. Yeah. He takes a beating.
I thought the Clemson tape, where his stats aren't any good,
right, he got smoked.
Yeah.
I thought it was good tape.
Yeah. He's
out there making good decisions, reading a defense that he doesn't have time to read, but he's getting through it. Yeah. He's making the right reads and throws.
You box score scout and you said, this guy's horrible. Yeah, but you watch the tape and he's doing all he can.
I assumed he was going to be my fifth quarterback, if that, because of the box scores.
Right.
But watching him play, I was like, holy crap, I'm putting him third.
I certainly understand why someone is going to draft him in the first round. Now, above some of these other quarterbacks, that's where I have a problem. But I understand why some are going to consider him in the first.
He is the one quarterback that you can actually see him play under center.
Yeah.
You can watch those games.
But they don't do that in the NFL anymore.
Well, I'm just saying, though, if one of those teams that likes to sneak your quarterback underneath there and try and do some things to help your running game a little bit.
The thing with Daniel Jones, and this is why he's going to be a first-round pick, is the other guys have some kind of fatal flaw that you really worry about. Daniel Jones isn't great in any category, but he just doesn't have that fatal flaw that you really worry. I mean, you know, with Haskins, you worry about the lower body mechanics. Yeah. Can he navigate pressure?
Do you worry about the offense he's coming from at all? I just got...
Which one, Haskins?
Yeah, watching so many two-yard drags. It's like, man...
Paris Campbell, where you
have Paris Campbell had 90 catches this year.
The primary read, it seems like, on every pass play is a two-yard drag route.
Yeah, exactly.
It's worse than Ole Miss's offense.
Well, Ole Miss has a vertical option.
How many routes does the Ole Miss receivers really
DK
run?
DK Metcalf runs three from the left.
So you can count them on one hand.
Runs three from the right.
Yeah.
And then A.J. Brown will do some different stuff from the slot.
Yeah.
That's Ole Miss. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, though. We're sitting here like we're putting them on the line right now talking about these guys and, you know. And they get in the league and they can't get off of, you know.
And that's why I think people expecting DK Metcalf to be Julio Jones or, you know, all these comps that are thrown out there. I think they're going to be pretty disappointed when DK Metcalf struggles a little bit to get started. I think he'll be okay.
Just let him do what he did at Ole Miss. If all he can run is slants and stops and screens and flies, we'll be okay.
It'll be a little tougher against NFL caliber corners, but still, with that size, with this freaky athleticism, that's why he's my number one receiver. But man, he's a projection, and I think we need to treat him as such.
Any chance that the tight end from San Diego State wearing? Is the third tight end off the board?
He's my fourth one.
Sure, yeah.
Over Irv Smith.
After we get past the two Iowas, nothing would surprise me at the tight end.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that.
Sternberger or Waring? If it weren't Sternberger or Waring, well, I guess some people are saying Dawson
Knox. Out Sternberger, by the way. Like 11 other teams.
I'll take Sternberger. I won't take Knox at 58. Could look stupid for saying that, but I wouldn't.
What's your biggest problem with Knox?
That I just don't know.
Zero touchdown catches.
Yeah,
16 catches this past year.
So he's the guy that plays in the SEC and has no production, but you're going to take a water polo goalie over him.
Water polo. You talking about Nada?
No.
Oh, Waring.
Waring is a water
Waring's
polo.
Waring's a baller. I've seen him catch the ball. I've seen him score. I've seen him do things that football players do. Knox is just a good athlete that was on the field with these other guys.
What if they take Knox at 58?
Knox even said it at the combine when they were asking him, like, what was it, about having all those other weapons,
right.
And does that really free you up? He's like... Not as much as I wish.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't do anything.
Well, and that's where you have to ask yourself, okay, the coaches just have no idea what they're doing, or is Knox just not, he's a good athlete, but it just doesn't translate into football production.
Somebody compared him to the Kittle, the tight end from Iowa.
No, Hawkinson's Kittle. Get up.
Yeah.
Hawkinson's Kittle.
Who compared him? Or
Somebody was saying that they felt like Knox was Kittle.
Oh, because Kittle didn't have a lot of production
Kittle
in college.
Kittle had no production in Iowa. And then all of a sudden, he's like, he's a bad mismatch player.
Well, and that's why you draft traits and you figure out, okay, why didn't he have the production? With Kittle, it was a lot of injuries. He was dinged up a lot. That was a big part of it. With Knox, they preferred to use the receiver. And for better or for worse, it is what it is. I mean, it was a very predictable offense, and you know that showed in the final record. But, man, I don't know. I'm a believer in Knox. I'd take a chance on him somewhere in the top 80 picks.
Nobody likes my guy Pratt, by the way, from North Carolina State. What? Linebacker.
He's a top five linebacker.
Yeah, that's liking him.
No, ask him where he's got him at.
He said he's top five linebacker. Know. That puts him in
71?
The third round at latest.
71?
Okay, early third round. What's wrong with that?
Where do you have him?
That's a contributor that might be a starter one day.
Oh, I've got him much better than that. You know me, my love for Pratt, 38.
38, nice. Hey, yeah. Love it. Where do you have my Hawaii linebacker?
Your Hawaii linebacker's right there with him.
Okay,
I love the Hawaii linebacker, by the way. We need to talk about my linebacker, because his name is Taki.
BYU.
That's my guy, Taki.
You made me watch Taki the other night.
I got him in the fourth.
Ooh, okay.
I like it. Taki because of his name and he can play.
You like to think that way because he finishes, right?
He's tough. Taki's out here to thump you and then work his way through to the ball.
How about covering
people?
He
fell off some tackles, but he made some.
He might be a concussion guy.
He traps himself inside sometimes.
He likes to steal athletic equipment and get himself kicked out of school.
Taki got in trouble?
Yeah, he got in trouble. A little bit. He got kicked out of school. That honor code is not for everybody.
Fifth round.
Honor code, where you drop him around?
I do that, well, depending on the offense. I generally drop people around for criminal activity.
You watch the tape and all of a sudden it's like, all right, Jeff, who do you got? Who your best available? I got Taki, and then Dane fires in he stole from his teammates.
Well, actually, he had a campus job as a janitor, and he kind of stole some athletic equipment.
Read the beast.
But what did he do with the equipment? Was it for underprivileged schools? Do we know?
Yeah, no, it was more like an eBay thing, or a resale.
What did he do with the money?
At least he didn't sell his books.
Underprivileged kids.
Did he sell his books?
I'm
going
to go ahead and say no.
All right.
But I mean, he does. He credits his wife as the person who straightened him out.
She's a getaway driver.
Yeah, so.
Brian, that is an irresponsible accusation. We've already gone too long. That's the end of Trust the Tape. So, Brian, thank you.
Hey, appreciate the guys. A lot of fun.
At Brian brought us on Twitter. Check him out on DallasCowboys.com.
Let's do it next week.
And listen to these guys on The Draft Show.
Appreciate that wherever you
get your podcasts. Dane Brugler at DP Brugler.
The Beast
is out on The Athletic. It is the best draft guide in the world.
No question.
Tied, of course, with the Star Magazine that Brian did.
He's got his beat big time.
And then
I'll admit that.
Tied with my Facebook page where I put out stuff sometimes. I'm Jeff Cavanaugh. You have trusted the tape, and we will talk to you next week. The draft is next week. Yeah. We'll sneak one in, I bet.
We got draft week next
week. Yeah, we'll sneak in a mock and all that next week, and it'll be great. We'll see you next week on Trust the Tape.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.